grocery store attached to it, and yeah, that's where I get my grip of
Hey, we have a lot to pray about. There's many people that are way sick today, not able to make it. So let's pray for all the ones who couldn't make it today. I'm not going to go through the list because I'll sure forget somebody. But there's several that's called this morning and said that they're not going to be able to make it. So let's pray for them. And then let's pray for our country. Let's pray for the Middle East over in Israel. Let's pray for one another. This is a really critical time in this situation and with the over in Israel and the war and everything that's going on over there. Let's just pray that God will protect our soldiers mainly.
Yes.
And then also on Tuesday night they're having the giveaway for the Halloween trunk or treat. And so it's actually from 5 to 8. So we need to get there just a little bit before 5 to try to get the cars in play and decorated. If you need some help, if you need anything, give me a call. Let me know. Otherwise, we'll meet you down there at the fire station. So we'll start there, and then we'll try to get lined up the best we can. And so for those who gave candy and part of it, thank you so much for your donations. Appreciate it very much. And so let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. For those that are watching by live stream, we thank you for being part of our service also. And may God richly bless you. As I've always told our church membership, we're only one phone call away. And that goes for anybody watching today by live stream. So feel free to give us a call if you need something. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time together. We pray that you will just put your arms around the nation of Israel and around this war over in the Middle East. Father, I pray you'll put your protection over all of our soldiers and all the ones that are in harm's way. Father, I pray for our country. I pray for the upcoming elections, for the issues that will be voted on in Ohio. Lord, help us to be mindful. Help us to read and to understand what each one of these motions will be, these different things that we'll be voting on. I pray that you will just watch over us here in our town and just be with Bethany Baptist, be with Clarksville, be with the churches and the surrounding areas. Lord, I just pray that you'll just bless each and every one. Forgive us where we fail you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. We also have a certificate that we forgot to give out a couple weeks. I think when we were handing out our workers' certificates, Sharon, you guys wasn't here. You're away. So we appreciate all the work that you've done for us. And Ron and your family, thank you so much for helping us keep the yard looking so good.
Well, how about we stand up and brag on God a little bit?
Amen.
He is exalted.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Rejoice in his holy name. King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord. Forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on
Shall we? Yeah.
Bring your waiters up.
Shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod, with bells crystal tied forever, flowing by the throne of God? Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful, beautiful river.
Sit down, you can, but if you want to stand, you can stand.
Yes, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm? Thank you.
Time we're going to take up our morning offering. We'll ask our ushers to come forward and take up our morning offering. Brother John, would you lead us in prayer?
Oh, dear Lord, we thank you for this day and this opportunity. We pray we would be mindful of how fortunate we are. We come now to return to you a portion of that which you have given us. Bless the gift, bless the giver, and may we do this to honor your Son. Amen.
Amen.
We're
just
going to do it a cappella. I really like it a cappella.
To God be the glory, great things he has done, so loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our joy and our wonder when Jesus
Before the dawn of creation, there was the Word. Before the beginning had begun, before the planet spun and the sun hung in the sky, there was the Word. He was the light, and the light was alive, giving life to all things, everything. No thing was created except through him. And in his image, he created them, us, in his likeness, to reflect the light and be just like him. But sin came on the scene, and everything went dark. Not even a spark left. We were hard pressed for a savior. He had offered us his love in exchange for our trust, but we could not live up to his standard of perfection. We were dejected, broken, hostile, hopeless. But this is the gospel we put our hope in, that God, in his endless wisdom, fashioned the Word into flesh, and he pitched his tent in the midst of our mess, and the rest is history. The mystery of the cross, the incalculable cost of his life in exchange for our imperfection, the beauty of his resurrection, giving us life in exchange for his death when we call upon his name. Jesus, giver of grace, purveyor of peace, master of mercy, the Word, the one who bore the scars that we deserved. Have you heard the gospel? The good news, not what you can do for God, but what he has done for you. It is finished. Since before the beginning, the greatest story ever written, broken by sin but restored when we surrender to the Word. This is the gospel. Have you heard?
be handled right here on the altar. So. Caleb, did you shut me off?
For every Sunday of the month. I don't know if you saw her boots, but they look like, you know, if we were in Nashville, I would fit in today, you know? And so, yeah. We're thankful, Susan, for all the hard work that you're putting in. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
all right. Well, we're going to continue our study about the harvest of God. And we'll finish up this sermon series today. And if you have your Bibles, lift them up and say, yes, got to have a Bible. We're quickly coming to a time when the only Bibles that will be available for people will be in the written copies. Because everything online is going to go away. Because they will destroy the Word of God. And that day is coming very, very soon. If you have your Bibles, let's stand and let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 8. We're going to look at just one verse this morning. Chapter 8 of Jeremiah and verse 20. I'd like to bring a message entitled, The Empty Harvest. The Empty Harvest. And Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20 reads as follows. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we recognize that you are greater than all of our problems. You're greater than any problem that the world's facing today. Father, your hand is right over the Middle East. And you are putting the players in the place exactly as your holy word has spoken. And Father, I pray that you will help us to see that if we're not careful, the harvest in our own soul can dry up and go empty. So help us to be fruitful in all that we do. Help us to be an image of you. That you living within us would be seen by all folks. And forgive us where we fail you and come up short. Because, Lord, we know that your grace is sufficient for all of our needs. And these things we ask in the very powerful, holy name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The empty harvest. The empty harvest. What causes the harvest to fail in the first place? And I can tell you that I am not a farmer. I would have a difficult time growing just about anything, I can tell you. So when it comes to understanding what causes a harvest to fail, I took to the internet, right? And I was a little scared to ask GPT-Chat, which is the new AI, of what answers I might get from that, so I decided to stay away from that. But I took to the internet just to see what the top answers would be, why crops fail, why the harvest fails. I realized that it would have been much easier for me to pick up the phone and call Mark Kalman and say, hey Mark, tell me four reasons why the harvest fails. And he probably would give me that. And I was hoping he was going to be here today because I would, after each point that I make, I would ask him if that's right or not to prove that the internet's true, right, getting good information. So it depends on where you go and what you read off of the internet. And I would say always verify and make sure that it is a true story. One of the things that it said was weather conditions. And then I think the three words that followed that was very eye-opening to me, the unpredictable weather conditions. You know, sometimes weather can be very unpredictable, right? Things happen. There can be severe rainfall. I know 1 year here recently, we had a lot of rain in April and May, and the farmers had a hard time getting their crops out here in our home state here of Ohio. And a lot of the farmers, even some farmers, did not plant that year. And so there was an unpredictable rainfall. And then there's also the unpredictable drought. You know, you plant the crops, and then the plants need to be watered, and then all of a sudden God sends a drought. And we know that the world around us is experiencing drought in many places. That's why there's famine. That's why there's hunger in many of the African countries, that there's been some severe droughts taking place, and many people are starving. And so weather, definitely an unpredictable weather conditions, can hinder or cause the harvest to fail. The internet says the number one reason that there is a threat to the harvest is climate change. Now, I know how we could say a lot about that, but I will just say this. I believe God is in control of the climate. God controls the climate, and God is in control of everything. And I will tell you this, there is a documented fact that every time the world or the UN or someone, America, tries to start talking about a two-state solution in Israel, how that Israel would give up the land for peace, that there is a disaster that takes place. As a matter of fact, there's a book written that says over the last, I don't know how many years, I hate to quote it because I don't have the book right in front of me, but it's called The Eye of the Storm. It's 101 times that God intervened in the climate to cause a storm somewhere in the world because they were talking about dividing the land of Israel. I believe God is in control of the climate.
Amen.
And I believe that He does a very well job of it. Another reason why the harvest fails is because of pests and diseases. You know, insects can destroy the harvest. Here in Ohio, we had the ash worm come through. And if you had an ash tree, you probably don't have it standing today. There are so many trees. I'll never forget, we had lots of ash trees, you know, on our property in Edenton. And I remember waking up one day, and it looked like a bomb had went off outside. And I asked, what in the world's going on? And all the bark from all the ash trees fell off, it seemed like, in the same day. And come to find out, the ash worm had killed every one of them. You probably experienced it, too, if you had an ash tree in your yard. We also know that in 2019, that there was a great locust, that the locust had come into West Africa and destroyed the crops. If you get on the line, you'll see the evidence of that. And so God can cause the locust to come and eat the harvest because God's hand is not short. God is all powerful. God is able to do all things. And if God wants to, He can send even the locusts to the buyer, the food in the land. And He can do that, and He does that during the times of judgment. And so it should not surprise us if we're going through in America, if we're going through times such as this. But I believe that God is in control of the insect world. I believe that He controls every insect that He ever created. There's not an ant on this planet that He doesn't know about. Matter of fact, He even makes reference to watch the ants and learn from them, how they prepare their food in the summer for the winter. And so I believe God's in control of that. He is a mighty God. There is no mountain too big. Another reason that the harvest fails is because of poor farming practices. They said that there's a lack of knowledge of how to take care of the crops, putting down the right fertilizers, putting down the right pesticides. And then sometimes also another reason why the harvest will fail will be because of the neglect of the farmer. It didn't take care of the harvest during a critical time of its growing season. And so we can see, you know, if you went through any place around here in Ohio and you looked at the fields, they're all nice and cleanly harvested. The beans are in, the corn is in. And we can see the farmers have done an excellent job, and we've had a good harvest here in Ohio, according to Mark. And I think if Mark's watching, he's probably saying, amen. Amen. Jeremiah the prophet was not only speaking about a food harvest when he said that the harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. But I believe the prophet Jeremiah went much deeper. He was talking about a physical and spiritual drought. He was talking about a physical and spiritual condition of his nation. If you know anything about Jeremiah, he's prophesying during a time when God's chosen people were taken captive and was removed out of land. They had lost it all. And if you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you will see how that God sent judgment to Israel. And that he sent judgment through fire. He sent judgment through the locusts. And he sent judgment through pestilence. It was quite amazing what we saw take place in 2019 and 2020 when the coronavirus went through. 2019 was one of the most costly times, years around the world for fires that were breaking out. There was a major fire in California. They broke records. There was major fire taking place in Australia. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. And the reason that it is like that, because during the flood, while Noah brought two of the same animals into the ark, there was many, many thousands, if not millions of animals that perished in the flood. And they said in Australia alone, there was millions of animals that was destroyed because of the fire that took place that year. As a documented fact. And we could see that God sent the locusts, he sent the fire, and he sends pestilence. Famine came to the land. Jeremiah said there was famine in the land. During the judgment of God, there was a famine in the land, not only of food, but of the hearing of the word of God. He said that the summer had ended. The growing season had ceased. And the Bible tells us and teaches us that God is long-suffering. God is patient. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that God is long-suffering and patient to us? And he just doesn't wipe us off at the first sign of trouble. But the Father continues to put his hands out and tells us, his children, it's going to be okay. Just come on back. It's going to be all right. God is patient. God is long-suffering. God is a merciful God. But there is a line unknown to man where God's mercy turns to God's wrath. We don't know where that line is. We don't know when it comes to a point where God said, that's enough, enough. I've had enough. And it sure feels like what's happening around the world, it sure feels like that the harvest is past and the summer is ended and we are not saved. And it feels like that God is on the throne screaming from heaven, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and you're all not saved. Because we are crossing into a time of God's judgment instead of God's mercy. It seems like the wheels are falling off of every institution in the world, not just in America, but in the world. Amen. There seems like that there's chaos on every hand. Yes. Do you realize that we are probably already in World War III, what's taking place in the Middle East today? It only takes one stray bomb to hit one of our ships in the Mediterranean. It only takes one stray bomb to hit the Dome of the Rock. It only takes one stray bomb to wipe out something that would cause the whole thing to come unglued. That's the day in which we live. And so we notice that the harvest is past. And so we see Jeremiah proclaimed, "We are not saved." He was the prophet that stood up and declared that the judgment of God was taking place and that the nation was not saved. The harvest was past, summer has ended, and we are not saved because he witnessed the whole nation collapsing under the judgment of God. We too will witness the whole world collapsing under the judgment of God. I'm just thankful that we're going to be taking a front seat in heaven, amen, to watch it. He will spare us. He will spare us going through the tribulation and receive us unto himself. Israel lost it all. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34 tells us, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Amen? Righteousness will exalt you, but sin is a reproach to any people, including us, the church. And so I would say, hear the words of the prophet, O America. Hear the words of what the prophet has spoke to the nation of Israel. And America is no better than the nation of Israel. For we too have strayed away from God. We too have rebelled against God. We too have worshipped Baal on our altars of convenience. We have served on our own purposes what we want to do instead of what God Almighty says for us to do. And so we say here by the prophet Jeremiah, oh, hear the words of the prophet, O America. See, America became a symbol of the God of Israel in so many ways. We've named our children after the prophets, you know, Jeremiah and Elijah and Benjamin and Timothy. We've named our children after the biblical names, Sarah and Mary and Elizabeth. Many of our cities in America bears the names of many of the cities of Israel. We've named our cities after the names of the cities of Israel. Because we became the little Israel, you might say. We became a nation where the prophets gave the word of God to the nation of Israel, and we in America picked up the word of God. And our country was founded on the word of God. And our land was cultivated in Christianity. And in the ways of God, we had cultivated the land and our society and our institutions. We're all cultivated in the things of the Lord. And we saw great harvest come to America. We are still the greatest nation of the world. And God has blessed us beyond measure. But we are seeing a harvest that is passing. The summer is ending. And we are not saved. And it's our children that we're most worried about. And so we see the Ten Commandments were etched over the doorways of the Supreme Court and many of our courts and many of our institutions. The Word of God is etched in the walls. Speak truth. The Bible was taught in the public school. You know how they try to teach me how to read? They made me read the Gospel of John. I'm thankful that I had a teacher that took advantage of the opportunity to have the Bible in a public setting of a school. Amen. And we had time of prayer. But they've taken all of that away. Prayer was offered in so many social events in our nation. And I'm thankful to see that there's spark of revival coming to the land. That we're seeing some school districts that are saying, and football teams that are saying prayer is important, and we're going to get back to prayer. And how that some of our local schools here, they're starting Bible studies within their football teams. And that they're actually having prayer during before the game and after the game at the 50-yard line. Somebody asked me, what's your favorite part of the game? It's watching the prayer at the 50-yard line. Amen? It's those that are willing to take a knee and pray and thank God for the opportunity that God has given them to cultivate the culture. The Bible is still the number one seller in the world. I try to look at the statistics, and I kept getting different answers, you know, depending on who you read. And the closest one that I could come to was Christianity Today, and they say that there's 20 million Bibles sold every year, but I honestly believe that's very low. And I believe they said that there was something like $758 billion of the Word of God being sold, some value of it, something like that. And again, don't quote me because I didn't write it down, but just trying to do some fast track. What about churches? We cultivated America in our early foundings. The pilgrims came over here for one purpose, and that was to have religious freedom to worship any way that they like. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a little upset when I see another religion worshiping in America that doesn't necessarily worship God. But the little voice behind me says it's our freedom of religion that gives them that right. We just better be a louder voice, amen?
Amen.
And so we know that churches, that somewhere in a neighborhood of 350,000 churches are in America today. In 2019, there was 414,000. So we lost 64,000 churches since the coronavirus. That we know. All the statistics, it's the first time, this year is the first time that there's less people who believe in God than do believe in God on the statistic side of things in America. And we can see for the first time we fell under 50% of those surveyed that believes in God. We have Christian radio and TV programs. Hey, if you were sick this morning, you could watch a live stream or you can watch somebody really good like David Jeremiah, amen? Because we live in America and God has cultivated us with spiritual things, with the Word of God and television programs 24/7. Baptisms and revival break out in America. Evangelism. Because the soil in America was well prepared for a great harvest for God. Aren't you thankful that we live in America? Aren't you thankful that you had Christian parents? Aren't you thankful that you had Christian grandparents? Aren't you thankful that your great, 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 great ancestors probably had a form of religion? Because of the land of America. Everybody got really upset, including myself, when President Obama said that America is no longer a Christian nation. Remember that? He said that. And I got pretty upset about it, but when you look at the statistics, he was right. The falling away from the church, the falling away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, as American and in our society, truly shows that we are no longer a Christian nation. Why is that? Because the harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. We're not seeing people get saved like we used to. We're not seeing revivals of the old days. We have revivals now. We usually pick 2 or 3 days over the weekend. Where are the 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 week revivals that go on? Where God is really moving in our midst. God is causing revival to come. We were well watered with the preaching of the Word of God. Now the pulpits are filled with make you feel good philosophy.
That's right.
make you want, you know, it's okay to accept whatever is coming our way. But I will tell you, as your pastor, my commitment to you is to preach the Word of God.
Amen.
And I will preach it without an apology.
Amen.
Because this saith the Word is still in effect today.
That's right.
It still means something today.
Yeah.
And we need churches to arise in this culture in which we are, because the harvest is passing, the summer is ending, and we are not saved. We're seeing less and less homes. We're seeing less and less children come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need spirituality. But the one thing that I really like about America that we still see and still feel is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God is still pouring His Spirit out on the world today. You can still feel Him and knowing as you're cultivating your harvest, as you're cultivating your relationships, as you're cultivating what God wants you to do with ministry, you still feel the outpouring of the Spirit. Amen? I cannot even begin to imagine how terrible it is going to be once the Spirit of God is removed from the world and the evil one is revealed, just how bad it really will be. The harvest is passing. Churches are about 60% off in every area. The harvest is passing. The summer is ending, and our children are not saved. Today, there's only about 9% of America in church today, of the population. You hear that? 9% of the population of America is in church today. And that's what the statistics tells us. That means it's 91%. Of people outside of church today. And yet we have 350 churches. I'll never forget, Alberta and I started a ministry in Blanchester. And one of the things that we did is we went in and we counted all the churches in Blanchester. Now, Blanchester is not a really big town, right? And we counted 27 churches in Blanchester at the time when we started the ministry. Somebody asked us the question, why are you starting another church in Blanchester when there's 27 churches, which is a good question. And it's because we felt like God wanted to do something. And we saw some teenagers come to the Lord, and we saw God work some miracles. And we saw people come and get baptized in the ministry. And God worked some miracles that just unbelievable. And so I can tell you that every church of any denomination, of every denomination, the statistics is this. Every church of every denomination in all across America, if they had two services and were filled to capacity, both of those services, that there would still be more people out of church than in church. That's where we are today. It's because the harvest is past. And summer is ending, and we are not saved. The church age is quickly coming to an end. The Holy Spirit will be taken out. There's fields of God's harvest. And today is the accepted time. There's coming a time where there won't be any more time. One of the things that the devil likes to tell us is that we got plenty of time. Put it off till tomorrow. But we don't have plenty of time. Things are rapidly coming to an end. The church age is rapidly coming to an end. But the Bible tells us that today is the acceptable day of salvation. He says, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart, but come unto me, and I will give you rest for your labors. Who isn't saved today? What member of your family, what person do you work with, is not saved today? The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. Father God, we come to you and just ask, Lord, that you would help us during this time, that you pour your Spirit out upon the soil of America. Father, I'm thankful to see some colleges where the Holy Spirit is moving and revival is breaking out. Some high schools in the land, revival is breaking out. And Father, some churches are experiencing revival in America today and around the world. Father, I hope and pray that we would be continuing to cultivate the soil. And the soil is the human heart. Help us to reach all we can for your sake, that they might know you and a free pardon of sin. And Father, today, if we hear your voice, help us, God, not to harden our heart, but to be obedient to you. And these things we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Tammy, what are we singing?
Where could I go? Page 345.
Where could I go? 345. Let's all stand as we sing a song of invitation. Thinking, you know, this might seem like a little bit of a hard message, so I was going to open it with a joke, and I totally forgot. So I think maybe it meant that I should close it with a joke, so we can at least go home saying we were laughing as we left. Amen. Or maybe it's not so funny anyway. So baby corn asked mama corn where daddy corn was, because he wanted to play with daddy. And the mother replied, "Where's the popcorn?"
Okay.
Got it? All right. Okay, one more. The farmer decided to feed his hogs sugar and vinegar because he wanted sweet and sour pork. Bad, isn't it? That's not good. I cut off? Okay, I'm cut off. Let's dismiss in prayer before I really get myself in trouble.
Pastor Tim?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you share a phrase real quick? Me and Susan talked about married you for 4 years.
what can I have? And I don't know if anybody knows, but for 40 years, I guess it's a ruby as a stone.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can look it up later. I didn't,
yeah.
So I just thought it was true.
Yeah.
That week, somebody had come across her path, and her name was Ruby, and she was able to lead that lady to the Lord.
Amen.
So, you know, she has served him for 40 years. She worshiped to single mothers, and, you know, she's honored, and she loved God faithfully for 40 years, and that's what was Ruby.
Amen.
So I just wanted to share that. I thought it was really positive, you know, all the time you prayed. Mm-hmm. And just,
amen.
It's praise. You know,
amen.
It gives us hope here, me, you know, as a single mom, that, you know, there is something for me.
Yeah.
There was something for her.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Also, there's a couple singings. There's a singing tonight in Blanchester, I think.
Grace Methodist Church from 5 to 8. We as a church need to, you know, it's raining outside. Now, what else can we do but go and praise God in song? Mm-hmm. And we need to support them, and, you know, hopefully they come and support us. And we got to, you know, support each other, you know. And it's from 5 to 8, I believe it is. 5 to 8. And they're having barbecue. Mm-hmm. So.
Amen. And then next Sunday, November the 5th, there's another singing. Kenny Evans from Nashville will be singing at the Faith Baptist Church, which is right there on 123 coming out of Blanchester. And that's at 5 o'clock. They're having a meal, and then they're having a concert. They actually built a pavilion and going to try to do it outdoors if the weather's permits us. So that's next Sunday. So we'll plan on going and to that. We'll bring the church band if anybody wants to jump on and go to Faith Baptist. They have invited us to for their singing.
Yeah. One thing is just a blessing. It was a blessing to see Evan ran across the country. And
amen. 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 That's good. So proud of him. Did well. And we're thankful for Clinton Massey winning another game. He'll be still in the playoffs, so we're going to lift him up. All right?
I have just a word about Operation Christmas Child. I know you've all seen it in the bulletin. I put posters up as to when our deadline is. There's more empty boxes out in the foyer. If anybody would like to grab one and fill those. I have printed off papers, which was a story from somebody who went and assisted the giveaways, and she's written a list of things that were really good and well-received, good items, good ideas, what to put in your box. So those are out there on the Welcome Center. And on November 9th, I think it is, that week, that Thursday, we have a ladies' meeting, and we'll use that as a talking party. And then that weekend is when the deadline is, so we'll need to take them on Sunday. So any boxes you get packed, bring them, set them on the altar. We'll pray over them before we take them.
Okay.
Or we'll do that, whatever is remaining, we'll do that on the 9th.
Okay. All right. Thank you all for giving to the Lord, and thank you for collecting for the children.